This is In Ear Insights, the Trust Insights podcast. AI Academy for Marketers is an online education platform designed to help marketers like you understand, pilot, and scale artificial intelligence. The AI Academy features deep dive certification courses of 3 to 5 hours, along with dozens of short courses, 30 to 60 minutes each, taught by leading AI and marketing experts. Join Katie Robert, CEO of Trust Insights, and me, Christopher Penn, Chief Data Scientist of Trust Insights, for 3 of our courses in the Academy. 5 use cases of AI for content marketing, intelligent attribution modeling for marketing, and detecting and mitigating bias in marketing AI. The Academy is designed for manager-level and above marketers and largely caters to non-technical audiences, meaning you don't need a programming background or a background in data science to understand and apply what you learn. One registration gives you unlimited access to all the courses, an invitation to a members-only Slack instance, and access to new courses every quarter. Join now and save $100 off registration when you go to trustinsights.ai/AI Academy and use registration code PEN100 today. That's trustinsights.ai/AI Academy and use registration code PEN100 today. In this week's In Ear Insights, there is no escape from advertising. It is everywhere. It is following you around. It is to the point where when you walk by out of home billboards and things, based on your device location, ads can show up on that billboard just for you at that time. So Katie, break it down. What's the situation here?
It is insane. Like, it makes me embarrassed as a digital marketer how far we have decided to go to get the attention of consumers for milliseconds. Because, so the example, Chris, that you're giving, so one of our good friends, Tom Webster, was sharing on social media that he was in downtown Boston walking past one of those digital billboards. And based on his phone's location, it started to show him an ad for something that he is assumed to care about. And the ad even acknowledged, you won't believe the amount of data and money that went into personalizing this ad for you right at this second. And it struck him, and he shared with us, and we also were struck by it of like, wow, that is insane. Like, it's to the point of, you know, the sci-fi movies from 20 years ago of, you know, Minority Report and all of these other tech-heavy sci-fi movies that the ad experience is going to be 100% personalized. It's going to scan your retinas the second you walk into a store and say, good morning, Mr. Penn. We have those socks that you like in stock. And it's so insane. And it struck me last night as I was trying to watch probably a cute puppy video, and it kept getting interrupted every 30 seconds by an ad. And now there you have these, you know, ads that are even smarter that know when you take your eyes off of it, it stops playing. How creepy is that? And so I guess the soapbox that I'm on today is, how far is too far? Digital advertising has gone so far that consumers do no longer have a safe place to just watch a puppy video or walk down the street without being bombarded with some sort of attempt at, hey, you like oat milk? I'm going to show you oat milk right now. Okay. You know, and so it just like, I'm on a soapbox today.
Well, so here's the thing. On that front, and again, it's a wonderful saying, comes from our friend Tom Webster, if you are not paying, you are the product. So has it ever been? And so for a lot of the free content that's out there, we are the product that's being sold to the advertiser. We are not the customer unless we are paying. And so, you know, you have YouTube Premium, which allows you an ad-free experience. You have Netflix, which allows you to, you know, watch videos on their service as long as you're paying for it. But if you're not paying for it, then the advertising is the price that you pay. And the question that a lot of people have is, okay, well, where is the safe haven that where you don't have to pay? There isn't one, and there won't be one, because there's no money in it for companies to give away free content, except in cases like in B2B marketing where, like this podcast, we're not going to show you an ad for this podcast in this podcast, because this podcast is the ad for the company. So you either have branded content, which is promoting a certain point of view, or you have general content, which is going to be inundated with ads. Those are your two options if you don't want to pay. Now, where it gets really
iffy, and which is why, you know, some platforms will inevitably fail are those platforms where you pay and you still get ads. Like the new NBC app, you know, Peacock has like, there's like five levels, like only the premium super whatever level has no ads. All of the other levels, three of which you pay for, still have ads. You just pay less for them. But to answer your question, that's why we have to put up with this, because we're not the customer.
And I understand that, you know, I understand that, you know, the advertising dollars are what allows certain content to be created. I think where I'm getting stuck is, and I think this starts to go down the road of ethics and data collection, is how much is too much. And so we know that, you know, people are online constantly, they're connected, they have their Bluetooth, their, you know, phones and their whatevers, you know, you name it. They are attached to some sort of a piece of technology pretty much 24/7. And advertisers want that data. They want that data so bad that they're probably willing to do unethical things to get it. And, you know, we've covered this topic before in terms of, you know, making sure that consumers are more savvy about reading terms of use and that marketers are more transparent around being, you know, honest about what they're doing with data collection and how they're doing data collection. But it's become so cutthroat that companies, you know, again, back to the example of Tom Webster was literally walking past a digital billboard and it pinged his phone. And within that, like 2 seconds of him walking past it, it showed him an ad of something that he may have browsed before. A friend of mine sent me a link yesterday to a piece of exercise equipment. I looked at the piece of equipment. I'm like, oh, okay, that's interesting. And immediately, everywhere I went on the internet was inundated with ads for this stupid thing that I don't even want. And God forbid I just look at it online to figure out what the heck my friend is talking about. Now I have to see it everywhere. I don't even want it. And so it's like, it's infuriating to me that, so companies are spending all of this money to collect your data and customize these things for crap you probably don't even want. And it just, it's so maddening to me.
It is. I guess that there's two different ways you can approach that. The first is when we're looking at all these different ad systems and things, the personalization, what's going wrong there is that the algorithms being used are mistaking attention for interest, because there really is no good way to discriminate between the two beyond some behavioral characteristics. So we know that a lot of these ad systems can't do that because, frankly, the compute cost is too high. Like, If I look at a page and I go and check out the YouTube video on that page and I go check out the pricing page, behaviorally, I'd say I'm exhibiting signs of interest, right? As opposed to just looking at the page itself and then bouncing off of it. But again, ad systems are so naive because they don't have a lot of data to work with. It's very thin data to work with. Like, hey, you looked at this page, we're going to assume you're interested. The second, and I think the stronger lesson for a lot of marketers is that your ads suck. I mean, the reason why you're having to do all this and compete for scraps of attention is because your ads suck. We were sharing last week this 3-minute long ad from Murphy Ladders about, you know, this folding ladder. The ad was hilarious. It was like, you know, this Mexican luchador wrestler, you know, showing off the features of this ladder in just this enormously comical, funny way. Mildly inappropriate for work, but, you know, nothing horrendous. But it was just good content. And it was to the point where, like, I shared it with friends. I shared it in our company Slack. I shared it in a couple other Slacks. And I, this weekend when I was, you know, doing some work in the basement, I thought, huh, I wonder if I should get one of those ladders. Like, that is an example of of advertising is done so well that I remember the story. I remember the product. I remember the brand. I remember where to get it. I don't know, have I gone and purchased it yet? No, but I would say in terms of the purchase funnel, I'm very far down behaviorally because it's on my mind. And I don't know how much it cost the company to make that or what the process was to create that, but it was so well done that I don't think of it as an ad. I think of it as a piece of content that was entertaining enough. And by the way, it advertised something. If companies could figure out how to get away from basically the cheap tricks and deliver real stuff, they do better. It reminds me a lot of early SEO. Like, early SEO was all cheap tricks, you know, white on white text at the bottom of the page and, you know, contorted titles for articles. And now, thanks to advances in Google's AI, those tricks just flat out don't work. You have to create good content or good enough content for the algorithm to even recognize you. Maybe I can hope that AI will do the same thing for advertisers. But the other problem that is why advertising is stuck like this is the objectives. Facebook and Google and whoever else have a pretty clear objective. They sell by impression. When you go into like Facebook ads and go into the ad manager, it says, you know, your effective cost per click, whatever, which is code for, we're still selling CPMs. We're still selling cost per thousand impressions, and we're just going to calculate this for you. But it means that their incentive is the impression. Their incentive is not the click. Their incentive is certainly not the action. And it would be a very different industry if advertisers only, if ad networks only got paid if you actually did the thing. I don't know why it hasn't caught on. Why advertisers have not pushed ad networks to push to do that, because it would benefit them. Like, I don't want to pay for ads if I'm not going to get any leads for them, right? For the company, I want to pay for leads. I will have to pay more, but I don't know why advertisers have not pushed companies to say, like, yeah, we're not going to pay you for non-performance.
Well, I mean, it's the same reason why impressions and share of voice are still metrics that people use to determine whether or not they're doing a good job. What I find interesting, and I really like the way we're thinking about this, is, you know, perhaps the solution to this problem of, you know, advertisers spending so much time and money to get the data about the consumer could be solved by just better advertising. And so, you know, if I'm a marketer listening to this podcast, I mean, I know for me personally, it was sort of that light bulb above the head, like, oh, duh, of course, if I made better content, I wouldn't have to spend so much time and energy data mining and digging around to try to personalize something for a 2-second walk by of somebody who may or may not care about the thing, but, you know, apparently I've done my job because they saw the ad. Well, yeah, but did they buy the thing? And you're still only measuring it on an impression, a walk by. So yeah, they might have walked by it, but then be like, oh, well, that's annoying. I'm out of here. I'm never going to buy that brand again. You could have the opposite effect by over personalizing, because you're basically annoying people into trying to buy your thing. I was saying this morning that I assume that that's what hell is going to be like. It's not going to be fire and brimstone. It's going to be things that just annoy you and you can't get away from it. And it's going to be this like compounding situation of annoyance after annoyance. And I think one of those annoyances is going to be those data mined personalized ads that companies think you care about that you don't care about because they have crappy content. I am definitely on a soapbox today. Holy crap.
The challenge with creating better advertising just actually requires talent. It requires talent. It requires skill. It requires proficiency. It requires partnering with, you know, a good ad agency, a good creative agency and stuff. You know, when you look at a number of times that we've had conversations internally about our own company and trying to figure out, like, you know, do we need to, you know, a different logo or a different, you know, branding or something like that. And the experiences we've had with a variety of different folks, it's very hard to get talented people within a budget that you can afford. And what you get instead is a lot of hack jobs. Like a lot of the Facebook ads we've put up, I mean, you know, we're, no bones about it. Our Facebook ads suck because we're not creatives. We're not advertisers. And, you know, we do the best we can, but it's still not great. It's not going to win any awards. And certainly no one's going to download a copy of our ad and save it to replay for laughs later on, unless they're specifically laughing at us. Whereas something like, you know, the Murphy Ladders thing, that is a piece of content you could legitimately save and watch just for the laughs, just for, you know, 3 minutes of humor. How you get there is right now requires an enormous amount of talent. Now, that may change over time as machines get better at creating content. But for right now, you still need, if you want to be the best, you still have to go and hire the best. And there's no escaping that.
What's interesting is, you know, machines learn from the data that you give them. Mm-hmm. And if digital ads right now suck, machines aren't going to fix that because they're going to learn to create crappy ads. And so I don't see machines taking over and doing a better job because they can only do what they are given. Like they can only learn from the data set that they're given. So I don't see that fixing the problem either. And, you know, you're right about the talent piece. I think the other side of the equation is that there's this like now mentality of I need it yesterday. I need good ROI. I don't care that you don't have the time, the budget, or the resources. Do it now. Do it immediately. And then people just start churning out mediocre ads just to get something out to say, it got 5 impressions. We're good. Okay, my job is safe for today. Like, yeah, it's a treadmill.
It is. And it's crazy when you think about it. Like, in what other profession can you waste 99% of your budget and, you know, the 1% you got and call that a success? Like, if you were a physician or a surgeon, like, oh yeah, I killed 99% of my patients, that 1% survived. Like, that we would not be okay with that. I don't know why advertising is okay with that.
Well, you know, as we've alluded to and talked about before, it's a misunderstanding of the data itself of what you're getting back. And so they're looking at the wrong metrics. They're looking at impressions. They're looking at share of voice. They're looking at likes. They're not looking at how many sales did I get? And or they don't know how to tie sales back to the ad itself because it might live in two different systems. And that starts to get, you know, it breaks down in the process. And so there's a lot of reasons why marketers aren't able to do much with what they have. So they're creating subpar content. They're sending out these ads that nobody cares about. And they're spending all of their time trying to find and pinpoint the exact location of what they assume is their ideal consumer. Those are all the wrong things to be doing.
So what's the path forward for folks? How do they fix this?
So it definitely makes sense to do an audience analysis, but to the depth and detail that companies are doing it, personally, I feel like is overboard. You know, I feel like you can have a few different versions of your ideal customer, and then you can start to really take a step back and say, you know, let's look at the advertising we've done previously. What has resonated? Let's do more of that. Let's do less of the crap that people don't care about. You know, let's be a little bit more sensitive to the fact that consumers are inundated with advertising 24/7. So do we want to just be part of the noise, or do we want to have a more thoughtful approach and really think about what is the right time to be showing these ads?
And I think you hit on something really important there too, which is that a lot of the machine learning and AI that's been built around ad systems is using ads as training data, and it's the wrong data to use if all the ads suck. There's a concept in AI called transfer learning, where you train a model in one domain and then you apply it into a different domain because the different domain you're applying it to may not have enough robust data to build on. And so in the case of advertising, if all of the ads suck, you know that the data set itself is corrupted, so you need to find a different data set. Your audience analysis idea is a really good one, because what if you found out, for example, that 80% of your best customers all like Ernest Hemingway, just as an example. And then you took your ad copy and you said, okay, now I'm going to feed this to a system like GPT-3. Take my unique selling proposition or whatever and rewrite it in the style of Ernest Hemingway. Like, rewrite it in the style of J.K. Rowling. Rewrite it in the style of, E. Cummings. If you did that, would you get better results because you're now actually using the audience data to affect the creative, as opposed to trying to use the audience data to catch that microsecond of attention when they accidentally look at your billboard? You create content that appeals to them and to their interests. I think there's strong possibilities for the most data savvy marketers to do that. And you don't necessarily need AI to do that. Like, if you have talented writers on staff who can write in the style of something else, you can say, okay, here's the corporate message. Here's the point we need to get across. Please go give your best shot to trying to write this like Margaret Atwood or Stephanie Meyer.
Yeah, please don't do that. But okay.
I mean, but to be fair, an awful
she
lot
has
of people,
a lot more money than me.
Exactly. An awful lot of people like her work. You know, here's an ad in the style of E.L. James. It could be, you know, it be able to show it everywhere, but
but to your point, Chris, you know, using that audience analysis to say, okay, majority of my audience is interested in sports. Does our product tie into sports at all? Is there a way to capture the interest of my audience? Even if I'm making sports puns, even if I'm making, you know, like analogies of our product around sports, like, is there a way to use that data rather than saying, I think at 9 o'clock on a Tuesday night, my one ideal customer might be at a basketball game. So let me show them an ad right there. No, they're watching a basketball game. They don't want to see your ad for whatever. Like, do better. Just do better. Yeah.
Larry Kim calls this, Larry Kim from over at Mobile Monkey calls this the double unicorn, where if you can find two overlapping interests, you can create content that feels micro-targeted, even though it applies to a very broad group of people. So his example was people who are liberal and people who like Star Trek Deep Space Nine. He created a meme that intersected two of these topics, and it blew up for him on Facebook. And so, you know, he paid nothing for it. It got hundreds of thousands of shares. And it was because of those overlapping interests. So if you can use your audience data to create stuff, even for, you know, 40% of your audience, that 40% is going to be deliriously happy. And for the rest, people will just see it, and it'll just be another piece of content, just another ad. But for that 40%, it's going to be like magic. So to sum up, please don't spray and pray. Please don't use AI to deliver bad advertising. Instead, improve advertising. Use AI. Use data. Use machine learning to create better ads. And in doing so, you will be able to generate much, much better results. If you have comments or questions about this topic or any other topic, please stop by the Trust Insights Slack group, Analytics for Marketers. Go to trustinsights.ai/analytics for marketers. Over 1,200 other folks who are also sick of advertising will be happy to chat with you. And if you want to leave comments on this episode, go over to trustinsights.ai on the website. You will see there. Thanks for watching, and we'll talk to you soon.
Want help solving your company's data analytics and digital marketing problems? Visit trustinsights.ai today and let us know how we can help you.